Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, Mark here. Welcome back to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast with me once again after her many and various and distant travels. Val Cameron from I Am Val Cameron. Hi, Val.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going. You and I haven't talked in a while.
It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. And this week we got to see two movies that some people have been anticipating for a while. And anticipation does not denote prejudice or expectation. It just means, that movie's coming out and I'm interested to see it. So we saw them and we're going to talk about them now, and we're going to determine whether the wait was worth it. Tonight in, 2 hours and 2 minutes, if my watch is correct, from the time I say this, I believe, Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon drops on Netflix. Everyone should know by now that it was a rejected proposal for a Star Wars film. And they rejected it. So he took it somewhere else and retooled it. And Netflix said, "Here, Zach, have a lot of money." And he made Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. Well, that's a pretty pretentious title. To assume that you're going to get two movies out of it to begin with. But then, so I'm really getting tired of subtitled movies, with the secondary titles.
Yeah. I really didn't do much research on this going in. That's kind of been my year, is kind of trying to go into things open-minded. However, as soon as you put Zack Snyder's name, and I'm going to get hate mail for this, on something, I know it's either going to be something very, very different and innovative, or it's going to be something very pompous and overblown and underwhelming. Like, I feel like the last three Zack Snyder movies have been hyped up and then super underwhelming.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment at all. And I consider myself a Zack Snyder fan. I mean, I defend Watchmen. People don't. I defend Sucker Punch. People don't.
Yeah.
I liked Man of Steel. For God's sake.
All three of those, again, like, he's either doing something so good or he's doing crap. There's no, like, in between.
No, he doesn't have a baseline. He is a man of extremes.
Yeah, and I mean, I can respect that in some ways, but I do think that Rebel Moon is so pretentious. It is. I didn't know until we got to the theater that it was a rejected Star Wars movie.
You did? Oh, actually, I don't know how you avoided knowing that.
I did a really good job because I was doing so much traveling this year that it really helped me keep away from those things, right? And so right as I was going in, I was told that. And so that, I think I would have known it in the first 10 minutes of the film anyway, that it was kind of a Star Wars movie, because as you're watching this film, within the first 20 minutes, you see at least four different Star Wars movies.
Yes.
I mean, and then halfway through, you're into Star Wars Rebels, you have Last Jedi, you have, New Hope is kind of in there a little bit.
A lot of it is New Hope.
You have Return of the Jedi. Like,
you have Revenge of the Sith in there.
The
important part of Revenge of the Sith. And we'll get back to Rogue One, because there's another movie I need to talk about as an adjunct to this. But it's you know, everyone was like, "Oh, it's Seven Samurai or Magnificent Seven in space," which is also true.
Yeah, I mean, let's go down the gambit really quick. I mean, for me, it is Firefly. It is The 300. It is Gladiator. It is Star Wars. You know, it is the movies that you said. It's also Mad Max.
It's Dune.
It's Dune. Like, for me, I'm watching it and I'm thinking there's some parts of it where I was like, you know what? That would have been really cool if we could have gotten a Serenity or a Firefly that went this far, because I have wanted a really good space cowboy movie for a long time. So I was like, okay, like I could maybe get into this. It's a little more rugged. It's rated R, but it's kind of this Star Wars like cowboy thing going on. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
And the cinematography grabbed me. And then I was like, wait a minute.
Okay, let's hold on. So let's look over my shoulder here and you'll see that I am a Firefly guy. We have Wash on the magazine. We have River fighting the Reavers. You can't see there's all my little Firefly action figures here, and you can't see the wall that's behind my desk, which is all Firefly stuff.
Yeah.
I am a big Firefly fan. I think it's funny that we're talking about Snyder riffing on Firefly when we have the whole Justice League situation involving Joss Whedon. And I put in my review, I said, I'm shocked that he felt compelled to riff and or rip from Whedon as much as he doesn't apparently care for his work. But he did.
The pretentious part is, like, because for me, Zack Snyder basically came in and gave the finger to all of these filmmakers and said, I can make the content that you've been making for all these years and I can do it better. And then each section of the film was him trying to make these films better and saying, look what I did, it's better. Instead of taking at least just two of those ideas and making a different film. You can be inspired by films.
Heck yeah.
But this is way more than inspired. There is a whole section, a fight scene that is exactly from Star Wars Rebels when they're on the bridge.
Oh,
that is a scene from Star Wars Rebels.
I like I said, and I consider myself a fan.
Yeah.
And this, I am of the firm opinion. And look, this movie is the epitome of why this podcast is called the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. This podcast was named specifically to honor the tendency for studios to tell you how great their movie looks before they tell you anything else, which means there's nothing else there. It was named in honor of Jupiter Ascending, which was billed as the most visually stunning film you'll ever see, which it was. It was gorgeous. The Wachowskis can shoot a film. This is the Jupiter Ascending of 2023. It's just not good. It's gorgeous. Don't get me wrong. I said that if I was going to shoot a movie, I would hire Zack Snyder to be behind the camera. It's like, dude, just frame it and shoot it.
I feel like he did everything on this film. I think he was also getting people coffee at some point. Like, and I'm not against it, but I also think that you need to allow your movie to breathe. And then you also need to be open to other people's opinions, so that you can catch yourself not being in the place that he keeps putting himself.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. This is probably one of the most beautiful movies that is unoriginal that I've ever seen. Now, I've seen more unoriginal movies and I've seen more beautiful movies, but the fact that that's together in one movie is very different. And I don't hate the film. There are parts of the movie that I really liked. And the casting was great. The performances, so good. The performances were fantastic. He had everything he needed to make a good movie, except for he put 70 different movies into one movie.
Yep. On paper, this movie should have been just absolutely incredible.
It was the wish of Zack Snyder. If you watched Wish this year.
Right. If you read my review, I made a meme just for Zack in this. So there's a cute little meme there for him. But no, I think it's funny. Yeah. On paper, this movie, this was a no miss movie on paper. which is funny. Again, I'm going to make my Firefly comparison, and I'm going to reference another film real quick because, you know, on paper, Firefly should not have worked. And no. Serenity should not have worked. And yet it did. And it did gangbusters work. And this is exactly the opposite. This there's no reason this movie should have been this bad.
Yeah.
And you're right. I said after the film, you said you don't hate the movie. And I posited it's because you don't care enough about this movie to hate it. You can't invest. I couldn't invest in anyone That's enough to thing, hate it.
That's what's so frustrating is because the characters to me, the characters were written so well, right? Even though the film was not written, which is again, one of those anomalies that if you follow each of the stories behind the characters, they could be strong stories. And again, those performances were great. And so I really wanted to care about at least four of the 30 characters in this film.
There were a few.
But I couldn't. I mean, I would say the lead I cared about the most, and the droid. I always care about.
I think the second film we're gonna see more of the droid. See, but I found the characters. They were basically, you know, every time in this film he would take us to a world, and we would see that beautiful establishing shot, and he would give us the legend that tells us the name of the world.
Yeah,
and that's it. We know nothing about the, and I felt the same way about the characters. This is my character's name, and this is the role that I fulfill in this script, and then that's it. And the lead is the only one we really get any backstory on.
Yeah, but again, you can think about, ooh, this is a cool character. This could lead us to something neat, and then it never leads us. It's all this surface stuff that he wants you to try and figure out. And I'm all for having a second movie that's even stronger than the first. The one that I would say is super successful is Dune. It gives you a full story in the first movie, and then it's now going to give us an add-on. But you could see that first movie and be totally okay without ever seeing the second. It doesn't rely on having a second movie to give you a full story. Right. And I don't even care about Dune that much. I know I'm going to get hate mail for that. It was fine. It was beautiful, but it was a full thought out story. Movies that make you depend on the next movie that's coming really upset me.
Yeah.
Like, it is so frustrating for me to say, if your full story depends on what's coming next, you should have rewritten it. And for me, what I'm thinking, this is a Netflix movie. This is a movie where you're going to have two sections of it be 2 hours, 15 minutes, 2.5 hours. Why couldn't he be less about himself and say, this should be a series? It's not always about making a motion picture. You can be a super successful filmmaker and cut up your series into sections and have it be even stronger, because you could have built out those characters. You could have had 8 episodes of an hour-long movie, of hour-long episodes, and we would, like, our appetite would have been fulfilled.
Well,
and that's what I've seen happen a lot this year is that movie should have been a series. Don't be so pretentious that you have to be on, you have to be a motion picture.
Well, apparently the news is out there that there is a different cut of this film. Shocking for Snyder, but apparently
there is.
but apparently it was because of Netflix. Netflix, and again, I don't understand this part. Netflix wanted a PG-13 movie when it's fucking Netflix. Like, Netflix has a problem with R-rated films or something and violence. But so Zack Snyder has said, and we know that Zack Snyder says a lot of stuff, has said that the other film that's 3 hours long is rated R, and it's basically a different film. It's like, so now we're going to be subjected to calls for that. And if it's better, that's awesome. Guess what? Release that film instead.
Yeah.
Don't release some truncated thing that isn't the movie you wanted to make. If Netflix is going to let you, I mean, don't make a movie for Netflix just to make the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, Die Hard 3, where they shot two films at the same time. They shot PG scenes and then reshot the scene as an R so they could have an R-rated cut, but it was the same film. They just, these scenes, PG, and then we'll just tweak them. But it was the same film. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. If Netflix was going to allow Snyder to do that, Snyder should have said, no, I'm making this movie, and been done with it. Instead, he's doing what he did with fucking Justice League, and he's priming the pump to make himself a martyr.
Yeah.
And I, again, I don't care for it.
It's that pretentious God complex.
Yeah. That... Well, let's real quick. Let me touch on it because there's okay. so much Star Wars in here. Let's talk about a science fiction film that came out real earlier this year from a Star Wars director, from a Star Wars film that everyone loved, Gareth Edwards, the creator, another, oh my God, this is going to be the best movie ever. And it didn't quite land with audiences.
It didn't land with audiences, but I enjoyed this film for a lot of reasons. It's not an original story, but it is a story that we've heard before, told in a way that was more exciting for me.
It wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. No. There were parts of it that it was, again, were just downright great, and you could see what it could have been. But for some reason, sci-fi, I don't know. You know, the people
for
are.
For me, it was a little bit like The Eternals in that it had so much that it could have been. But they gave us these side characters like his wife.
Yeah.
We didn't get enough about her to care about her at all. She was a side thought for me. I thought the main character was great and strong. I thought the young character, you really cared about that kid. Yep. And then the special effects and fight scenes in that movie were amazing. And in a year that we got such horrible special effects and action films, I really loved that movie and respected it for that. And that brings me back to this movie. Like, Rebel Moon, what he did to kind of, it was like this smoke and mirrors magic. He did not put the money into CGI. And so he played with light, and he played with camera angles, and he played with all these different things that are technically fun to make you not pay attention to the CGI. Now you're looking at this artistic ability to shoot this scene and to make you feel a certain way. So that's why I can't say that I hated it, because there were things that he did with it that were so good. And then there were things that he did that was just a bunch of this.
Yeah.
And not in a good way.
And I do not disagree with that general assessment at all. I just know that I'm terribly disappointed in Zach for this. This movie it could have been a triumph. On paper, there's no reason this movie is just not. If it was. And Netflix had to know, or else this would have gotten a 2-week theatrical release instead of opening right on, because the money they spent still had to be a lot.
Yeah,
they should have been recouping it.
There are going to be hardcore Snyder fans that think this is a masterpiece because of how he expanded on all of these movies that are so that we love, right? All of these genres that we love. And they're going to say, see, he can take this part of Star Wars and this part of Dune and this part of Mad Max, and he can do
make
all
a Franken movie.
And he can do it so much better, even though it's a piecemeal movie. It's not a full out thought of him. It's piecemeal.
Right.
You know, there were even part like Viking, you know, things happening in this film. And again, I don't hate any of these genres. I don't hate any of these ideas. Pick two. If you can't pick one, pick two, pick three. Don't do 20 different ideas in one film. And just like in Aquaman that we're going to get to in a minute, I just wanted both of these filmmakers from Rebel Moon and Aquaman to like take a stance. There are things in Aquaman that they don't follow through with all that. They didn't have the balls to follow through. Whereas like, I think Snyder thought he got too big of balls, right? He's thinking that he's up here. And instead of really thinking about the bigger picture, and if he's going to do a 3-hour movie that's totally different from this, then don't make this, like you
exactly.
said. Exactly. Like have the balls and the courage and the wherewithal to say, Netflix, I know you're giving me a ton of money, but this is my vision and this is what I want to do. And if they're not going to do it, be a filmmaker and walk away and go get the money from somewhere else to make the movie that you want to. Your name's big deal.
Yeah, it's not like he's not going to find someone to pay for that film. I don't know. Again, and he's just, it's this Snyder martyrdom. And you want to get calls.
Did he lose a bet?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. But it's not. And all those, if you think it's a masterpiece, you're wrong. Just at best, I will allow you to say it's good and entertaining. That is the best you can
to watch.
And it is. It's some of it's just, and I didn't mind the CGI except for the hippogriff.
No, neither did I. And it's because, again, that how he played with everything instead of some movies like Ant-Man this year that just relied on the CGI but didn't give it enough money or enough thought to actually do what you got in the original Doctor Strange, because it's almost the same world that they're going into, right? And I just watched Doctor Strange again the other day, and I'm like, how come they could do it here but not do it here? And it's because it was the choices and the money that they were allowed to make this movie. And again, if you don't have the right amount of money to make the movie that you want to make, have enough guts to not make the movie.
And, have an actual script would probably be.
I mean.
Yeah. actual character development. And the other problem I had as a writer on Rebel Moon. I did not write Rebel Moon. As a writer looking at Rebel Moon, there was so much toxposition. Everything was just, let me tell you a story. Literally character to character. And it's just like, thanks for taking the lazy way out. College composition 101. We're going to hack that up and send it back to you to try again. But yeah, it's sad that that's where he's at because he is capable and has proved that he's capable of so much more.
Well, we see it in the film that he's capable.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how to edit himself and nobody knows how to tell him no.
Yeah. There's a couple filmmakers that have that problem.
Tarantino.
But you know what? I think Tarantino's pretentious, but you know what? He has a generally better track record. I don't think he's made a genuinely shitty movie. No, he might have made a movie that you didn't care for as much, but I don't think Tarantino's ever made a quote unquote bad movie.
Yeah. But I would say his last piece of work after his editor of how many years died and he's got a new editor on it. And that movie was too long. But it didn't, like you said, it was still a great movie. I'm just not a huge fan of all of Tarantino's work. But what Tarantino has over Snyder is that he has the guts to go all the way, even though sometimes when he goes all the way, it might be too much for me. But he has a complete thought and he follows that complete thought all the way through. And he doesn't care if people like me don't like it.
He has a vision. It might be too far. But that's as far as he wanted to go. He never goes, maybe I shouldn't go that far.
Yeah. I feel like the last four Snyder movies is he's making movies that he thinks he needs to make, but he says he really wanted to make them. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to say. And it, like you said, it's disappointing because I know how talented he is. And you see in this film how talented he is.
What he can do. Yes.
And it just, it's frustrating.
Yeah, he's got some dialogue on par with George Lucas in this too. That's the sad thing. There's some hardcore Lucasian dialogue in there. That was disappointing. But hey, look, if you enjoy what you're seeing and hearing on the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, why not take a second to click subscribe if you're on YouTube, click follow wherever you're listening to us, follow us on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast, same over on Facebook. If you're on Instagram, it's Visually Stunning Movie Podcast. That would be awesome for us. We appreciate you listening. And now let's get back to the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Is it more or less disappointing than Aquaman?
Less disappointing. Less,
really?
Aquaman.
Less disappointing? Probably Aquaman, maybe because I like science fiction.
Aquaman was a piece of poo.
It is also not good.
It's because it was a Jason Momoa film starring Aquaman. This was not an Aquaman movie. Jason Momoa wore his own clothes onto the set. He brought his own motorcycle. He acted exactly how he does in real life. Instead of being Aquaman, I want to see Aquaman. The first Aquaman movie, I feel like I met Aquaman. In this movie, it's kind of like when The Rock loses control and just wants to be himself in a movie. It was too much Momoa. I didn't see Aquaman at all in this film.
No, this film is really dependent or leans in to Momoa's comedic sensibilities, which is not fun. I would love to hang out with Jason Momoa. But that would be a fucking blast.
Same. And he's not a bad actor.
But not when he wants to be. And I hate to say this, but Fast 10, he was remarkable in that movie. Oh my God, he was hands down best part of that movie. Hands down.
You just leveled up.
Just best part of that movie. Absolutely. I watched it. It was just like, man, he's so good in this movie.
But here I feel like in Aquaman is that they didn't, by the time they started filming, their script wasn't done. And they said, Jason, do Jason carry this film? And he was the weakest link. I have to say that, what's the actor's name that plays his brother?
Patrick Wilson.
He totally outshined him in this film.
Well,
totally.
To be fair, he's a more classical actor.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can have classical actors eat like bomb all the time. We've seen these movies. There's a couple out this year that I have unpopular opinions about. That I feel like they bombed. But I mean, his character wasn't seriously significant in this film, but he definitely outdid Momoa. And I just have to say, like, I was disappointed. I didn't think I was going to love it, but I didn't think I was going to hate it. And I'm so angry at this film. And my biggest part of being angry is Amber Heard. If you're going to have someone in a film, have the balls to go all the way with the character. If you don't want them in the film, cut them out altogether. But all they did was have her on the outskirts of this film, and it seriously crippled the film.
I don't know that it crippled. I mean, she did. You're right. She didn't need to. She
her character,
as much as she was in the film,
didn't commit to it.
She could have not been in the film. From the level she is in the film, and it wouldn't have changed the film at all.
Exactly.
So
if you're going to have somebody in a film, commit to it. In the first film, her character is important.
Yes.
And then in this film, the story that they build around her and him and their kid is super important. But they act like she is this fluff parent that doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really disappointed. I don't care what you think about Amber Heard and everything outside of this film. If you are going to have a character who is her character in this film, either change her as an actress and go all the way, or keep her as an actress and go all the way, or just cut her out altogether. But make a commitment and have the balls to do it.
Yeah, I think my problem with this film, whatever technical and script difficulties it has, and it has... this film does not matter. It's tough to be invested in a film that doesn't matter. And it's not like, I mean, if there's a movie that's just a movie that's not tied to anything else and it's no good, you can say, well, it's not very good. The problem is that anything good you might be able to take out of Aquaman 2 doesn't matter. There's no point. This is DC's equivalent to the New Mutants, which was in development hell and then got stuck behind a sale and then shuffled off to theaters to not matter. Yeah. I call the New Mutants, it's a cul-de-sac movie. It doesn't go anywhere because it can't go anywhere. And this is exactly what Aquaman 2 is. I enjoyed the New Mutants far more than Aquaman 2. And I still enjoy the New Mutants. I will defend the New Mutants for what it is.
I would go see Rebel Moon again if I could erase Aquaman from my memory.
I will allow it just because...
I will allow that just because
Rebel Moon is a prettier movie to look at.
Well, and it has potential. It actually, you can see some cinematic...
Well, and and fortunately or unfortunately, it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
So you have to, if Ty goes to the dude that gets more. He's got more. He might be able to retcon this. Yeah. But again, my issues with Rebel Moon are that it's not really a film. It's a side hustle, apparently. Yeah. So why should I care? And Aquaman 2, it's like, it wouldn't matter.
They didn't need to make the movie. The movie, it doesn't need to be out there in the world. And as I'm watching the film, I'm like, wait a second. This is just a bunch of cut trailers put together.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a bunch of just these moments that are supposed to be exciting, but then there's nothing that makes you care about them. And I'm not a gamer, but you know the video games that you play and you have the characters kind of in front of you with bad CGI and they're like, come over here and follow me through the water. And then we're going to open up to this. And then you can decide if it's going to go somewhere or you can shut it off. Like, that's how it felt to me, because like a movie or a video game in the early 2000s, before they turned into cinema movies, that's how it felt. Like, we're just a gamer following these mermaids, you know, and we can see there's something up there, but is it going to go anywhere? I don't know. Do I have to push a secret button to go into something that's better? I don't know.
Like I said, and what's sad is if you look at the basic premise of Aquaman 2, I could build a movie around the basic premise. Yeah, it's a lost not a bad kingdom. Premise. Even with the climate change, they hammer the climate change, and with a not veiled at all analogy of big evil oil or evil big oil.
I don't mind that.
But it's just so out of place because there's nothing really supporting it.
Yeah. It's just kind of, they're like, you need to hate me.
Yeah.
But then you have nothing, like, it's just kind of floating there, like, oh, we have substance because we're saying that we care about something in the real world, right? And it was just, there were parts that were so cheesy, like when he goes to actually introduce Atlantis to the world.
You mean when he rips off Black Panther and Iron Man? Yes.
But in the worst way. It's like if the Black Panther and Iron Man went to Walmart and then Walmart took a crap. Like, that's like the version of what he did. Sorry. No. But I am super passionate about how unnecessary this movie is. And I want to like DC. And I want to like Aquaman. And I want things to be cool. And it was so irrelevant. But the thing is I know people are going to go see this movie this weekend, and some people are going to be like, that was so fun. That was the best movie of the holiday season. No. And you would be wrong.
You would be wrong. There's at least...
I usually don't say that.
There's at least three other movies that are out or about to come out that are...
I usually can find at least one good thing about every movie, and I can see how like a fan would like it, even if it's not my thing. Yep. The one good thing about this film, I thought, was his brother, and I'm never going to remember that guy's name, and the scene where he's escaping from the jail and getting to the water. That was exciting. I really enjoyed that when they're being chased and they're through this like rock city and they're heading towards the water. And then he's like this little, you know, Captain America before he's right. transformed, and he jumps into the water and then he hops out with the muscles. I was like, that's really cool.
That's a great
that
scene.
That is, you know, it's a great scene. That's all I needed, right? Yep. Everything else was whatever.
Well,
and then Jason Momoa came in and he ruined the rest of the scene.
Yeah, he ruined a lot of scenes, which is a sad. So the DCEU is now dead.
Yeah.
It's done. No matter what James Gunn says about what he may or may not. So this year we had Blue Beetle.
Which wasn't bad.
We don't know where that fits.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Right. We can't. And again, I said it's been a weird couple years for DC because they got bought. They shelved Batgirl because it was so bad. Air quotes.
Yeah.
We had Blue Beetle. We had Shazam 2. We had Black Adam. And now we have Aquaman.
We had The Flash.
And we had The Flash. So, which, according to James Gunn, the guy we're counting on moving the DC forward, is the greatest superhero movie ever made. Greatest superhero movie ever made from the guy that actually gave us Guardians of the Galaxy.
So,
The Flash is not even better than Guardians 3.
Guardians 2. I hated Guardians 2.
I'm not a fan, but I didn't really care for 3 either.
I really liked 3. I thought it was the best of all 3. But for me, I don't mind if DC goes back to making these one-off superhero movies that are not connected to anything else. And that's why the Blue Beetle for me worked really well. It was a concise movie. It was super fun to watch. I don't know that I ever need to watch it again, but I enjoyed myself.
And I didn't
really have complaints about it. The Flash was 4 Flashes too much for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the idea of that film, and I really enjoyed a lot of stuff that happened and a lot of these things that they gave back to us. But there was too many things. I don't need to see that movie again, but I didn't hate it. It wasn't the worst. I totally forgot about Shazam 2 because it's forgettable. But again, not the worst DC movie of the year.
No. But clearly. Clearly not. But no, it's so what's funny is, okay, so the DCEU is dead.
Yeah.
And it's so we're going to start over.
Yeah.
I will argue that DC is now in a tie with Marvel cinematically.
For this year. Yeah.
Right now. But they both have to go. So let's, I said, my joke was the tortoise has caught the hare because DC has been chasing Marvel. They finally caught up. Right, but it's only because they're both running backwards.
Yeah. Somebody needs to make a move.
It should be Marvel because they know how to do it. DC has yet to prove that they can do it.
Yeah, and I feel a little bad for Marvel because they had someone in the reins over the last couple of years that took away their budget, that had no idea how to run studios or do movies. The other Bob just sucked, and he sucked all of the fun out of Disney and Marvel, and now he's gone. And hopefully, because these movies were already... you know, planted, they couldn't just take them away because he sucked at his job. And so now I hope that we're going to get that let's take chances again from Marvel. And I hope DC starts doing it too. If DC would stop trying to out Marvel and just get back to making their own films and not being like, well, we need to keep up with them. Don't try and keep up with someone. Just make your movies, because DC used to out Marvel. I mean, they were on top.
If DC's live action was as good as DC's animation, we wouldn't be talking about Marvel.
Yeah.
But no, Marvel is supposed to be fun. They're not the same kind of movies. The heroes are not the same.
Yeah. The villains aren't the same.
That's also true. But yeah, I mean, so.
But I like both if they can both pull their heads out of each other's butts.
human centipede.
I wasn't going that route, but all right.
But it'll work. That's sad. So Aquaman 2 is disappointing. So this was a terrible week for film for us.
I mean, not
In terms of what we had to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Migration, I thought was super cute. I don't think that it's like groundbreaking, but it's just a cute movie. And you know, I love birds.
Oh, yeah,
about birds. It is very formulaic, but I think sometimes you just need that, right?
Yep.
And so for me, if you were just to see the three movies that we had to see this week, I would say go see this animated bird movie.
Yeah.
Now, there are a lot of movies that actually open this weekend that I would tell you to spend money on and just to totally forget about the two movies we just talked about.
Yeah, one I know you really like, and I did too. The surprising one was, of course, The Iron Claw, and maybe we'll talk about that in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might think, oh my God, it's a Zac Efron wrestling movie. Oh no.
No.
I mean, yes, no.
I'm a fan of Zac Efron. You know, when he hits, he really hits hard. And when he misses, he really misses hard. But what I like about him is that he has taken chances on different roles. He's not just playing or doing the same movie over and over, even though some of the movies that he made choices on are bad.
Right.
But I like to see that he took a chance and the filmmaker took a chance on him. And it is one of the strongest ensemble casts. And I'm going to do a little throw out. You can actually read my full review on whattoseewithval.com. And I'll be talking about it Friday morning on Good Things Utah. But I really didn't think I was going to care. I was neutral going in,
right?
Because I don't know that much about wrestling the story of this family. And I went in and I was blown away.
It's fabulous. And then Monday, on Christmas Day, one of my favorite movies that apparently I'm in the minority on opens, The Boys in the Boat. George Clooney.
I really enjoyed The Boys in the Boat. I thought it was a beautiful movie. I love a good sports movie. They're usually formulaic. And this one kind of fits that formula where you've got this downtrodden team and then they have to work their butts off and then they go to the end and they win. This is based on a true story. And I did really enjoy it. Did it beat The Iron Claw? I don't think it beat The Iron Claw, but I would say it's a beautiful movie. I don't think you need to see it in the theater to enjoy it, where I would say The Iron Claw is going to hit you harder in the theater.
I think so.
Than this one.
I think so. But yeah, I like The Boys in the Boat. I've actually already watched that again.
Yeah.
Because that was completely in my wheelhouse.
Well, and so I would totally watch it again. And the casting was really great for that movie. And it is beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
it is
beautiful Clooney, to watch.
Yeah. Ryan and I did a piece you can go search. It's just called Clooney versus Cooper, where we discussed the way Clooney directs and what he directs and Bradley Cooper and what he chooses to direct. Because, of course, Bradley Cooper did Maestro this year. So it's a little bit more of one's more adventurous, but Clooney's, he's like a traditional guy. And he picks these traditional stories.
Makes good movies that you want to watch.
Which in itself is taking a chance to try to take a conventional thing and make it succeed. So Clooney should. But so we did like 10 minutes on those two guys. Yeah. But yeah, they're both good movies, by the way. Maestro and The Boys in the Boat. So see them both.
Also have The Color Purple, which it's in my top 10 that opens up on Christmas Day. And then you also have American Fiction that opens up this weekend. That was also
American Fiction is great. I did not care for The Color Purple, but yeah, American Fiction is great, and it's even more great when you realize the book was written in 2001.
Yeah,
and or something like that. And it's just like, I looked at it, I go, was that 20 years ago? It's like, no, this book aged well. If that's the case.
It was so smart and the writing was smart. And again, it's not a movie with explosions and bells and whistles and all of these big actors, although the actors in it are fantastic. But it didn't say we need to have this huge name, because as much as I love Wright, he's an actor that everybody loves.
Yep.
But you wouldn't say that he's a leading man per se.
No.
And so they took chances on this film. And it worked.
Yep.
It worked so well.
Well, what's funny, you know, I complained about the way that Aquaman 2 just kind of ham-fisted in their social commentary.
Yeah.
With American Fiction is all social commentary.
But it's
done correctly.
Yeah.
If you want to know how to do it, watch American Fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Aquaman 2. That's not how you do it.
No.
Because you can see it all in American Fiction and you're just like, nice job. Well done. And yes, Jeffrey Wright is ridiculously talented.
Yeah.
And he's up against, in theaters, also The Holdover with Paul Giamatti, another guy, not a leading man, but
And The Holdover, again, a quiet movie that was just made well. The script was smart. The cinematography was good.
Mm-hmm.
The casting was dead on.
Yeah.
And it was just this quiet movie. And it's not a story that we haven't heard before. It was just done in a different way. Right?
And yeah, it was done well. So, so people forget, you don't have to be new or experimental. Do it well.
Yeah.
If there's only seven stories, quote unquote, pick one, do it well.
I love new and I love experimental. But again, if you are not going to really dig in deep and do experimental and do new, I'm going to go with the quiet, well done movie.
Yep.
You know, and we've had like Air this year. I loved Air. And again, it was just this well-made movie, just like The Tender Bar last year was just a well-made movie.
You told me about that one last year. And then when I finally got around to watching it, I was like, oh, that's so good.
I didn't get a text from you saying that you were right, Val.
Oh, did I not? I'm sorry. Let me do that right now.
No, you probably did.
I probably sent you a damn. That's probably what I gave you. Damn. No, that one.
Anyway, so we've given you choices to what to watch instead of.
Yeah, there's a lot. And there's still good stuff out there. There's great stuff out there.
Yeah.
Any of which is better than Rebel Moon or Aquaman 2, I think, is really the point that we've been trying to make for the last 10 minutes. So, Val, obviously you're on TV tomorrow from when we're recording this. So tell everyone where they can watch you, where they can read you, where they can watch your show.
Every Friday morning, I'm on Good Things Utah. And then I have a podcast called Movies That Make Us with a couple other of our favorite people. That usually comes up every Monday, but we are taking the holiday off. So there's no new episode this coming up Monday because it's Christmas. But you can go. We have four seasons of stuff that you can go thumb through and listen to. And then all of my social media is I am Val Cameron because I do What to See with Val as well. Go check me out. Got opinions.
You got opinions. I know. And you're happy to come on. You're welcome to come on here and express them anytime you want. If you want to use words that Jake doesn't want to hear, you can always come on here.
Say on here that I
just,
say on
just shoot me a text. Say, Mark, I need to talk without Jake.
I was going to say tomorrow on Good Things Utah that Zack Snyder gave the finger to a whole bunch of other directors, but I don't have time to say it, but I really, really want to.
And they probably wouldn't appreciate it on that channel either. They probably wouldn't appreciate it at all. As for me, don't forget to follow the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast wherever you listen, wherever you watch. Just look us up or go to the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. And it's got links to everything and every place we are, I promise. And you can listen and or watch to your little heart's content. But the big thing is, enjoy your holiday weekend. If you go to the movies, pick a good one. For the love of God, pick a good one that deserves your money. We've given you plenty of options. So, Val, thanks for coming on. I know you have
Thank
to go record again in a minute with some other folks, with your guys. So have fun. Say hi to those guys. Tell them I said hi.
Yeah.
Until next time, I am Mark. That's Val. Bye, Val.
Bye.
And we will see you guys later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.